Before we get started, let's just have another word of prayer and then we'll get on with the message today. Well, someday, Heavenly Father, if you haven't already, you might whisper to us that you want to do a miracle through us. You want to actually use us for your purposes. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that when those times happen, that we'll listen to your voice and that we'll see what it is you want us to do and that we'll take action. Also, I pray that the Holy Spirit will be upon us now, upon each one of our shoulders. As we give this message today, may it be to your glory, as always, in Jesus' name. Amen. The English word miracle is from the Latin word miraculum, which means an object of wonder, or a strange act, or a strange thing. We all know it's a supernatural intervention that goes against natural laws. Yet, listen to this, natural means are used in accordance with God's will to bring about those supernatural results. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that when you ask for a miracle, the Lord actually directs your mind to the remedy for that miracle? Sometimes we may not see the results right away, but they'll come, and even years later we can look back and say, now I can see the miracle. Well, there are miracles of healing, such as recorded in James, the fifth chapter there. You may remember that from that chapter, if someone is very sick, they can call upon the elders of the church, and then the elders of the church can go and anoint that purpose. And again, God heals according to His will, doesn't He? Sometimes we wonder why He didn't heal according to our wills. Well, we all know there's miracles that Jesus did while He was here on earth, and I'll just mention a few of them. We won't turn to those scriptures, but I'll give you the scriptures. There's miracles He did, like the daughter of Jairus. He was a ruler at the synagogue, as recorded in the fifth chapter of Mark there. You may remember he came to Jesus asking for a miracle for his daughter who was almost dead. So Jesus went with him back to Capernaum there, and on the way, a woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And you remember she had been with an issue for 12 years, and yet she was healed because of her faith. Well, they continued on to Capernaum, and members from the household of the ruler from the synagogue ran out and said, "It's too late, your daughter is dead." Well, Jesus said, "Your daughter's not dead, she's sleeping." So he referred to death as sleep. He went inside, took James, John, and Peter with him, the parents. And in his tongue of Aramaic, he gave the words and said, "Dasmal, arise." He took her hand, and she rose up out of her bed, and she was healed. There's another story of the paralytic that is recorded in Mark, the second chapter. You remember this, when some friends brought him to the house and it was so crowded. These friends had heard the voice of the Holy Spirit calling them to bring their friend for healing. And we'll talk a little bit more about this at the end of the sermon. There's another miracle, one more. There was a woman that was bent over just like that for 18 long years. She was bent over until she met Jesus. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles as we go along. We're going to see that the miracle is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Now, we've all talked about this before, the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to each one of us. But it's good to review it from time to time. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And we're going to just kind of skim through this pretty fast. Starting with verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Some translations say there are different gifts, but all from the Holy Spirit. Another version or translation says there are special abilities that the Holy Spirit gives us. Now, as we drop down to verse 7 there, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. I'll skim through 8, 9, and 10. Verse 8, some are given wisdom, aren't they? Some more than others. Some are given knowledge, all by the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith. And I think everyone who comes to Jesus has a measure of faith, don't they? Some more than others. Some, the gift of healing, has, says there, as we, one of the ways is, as we just mentioned in James, the 5th chapter there. And here it is in verse 10. To another, the working of miracles. To another, the working of miracles. You know, Satan also has the power to work miracles, doesn't he? He also has the power to bind men in their physical infirmities. Sometimes we question God, why are you letting this happen, God? We don't know all the answers right now, but God allows sometimes Satan to bind men in their infirmities. Just like the woman who was bent over for 18 years, Jesus said, Satan has bound her all these years. Satan's also going to perform miracles. He's already performing miracles. At the end of time, he's actually going to impersonate Christ, try to impersonate Christ. You know that we're told as Christians to be careful of things like this. Jesus himself told us in Matthew 24, if you hear that Jesus is in the desert, don't go. Why isn't the Christian going to be fooled by these things? Because we're to try the spirits to see if they are from God or not. That's in 1 John 4. Well, as I get on with this message today, I'm going to tell a little story. Does anybody here like stories? I know I do. Ruth Ann tells great stories. You know, I told Ruth Ann I had a hanky with me because every time I look at her, she starts crying and then I start crying. So, Ruth Ann will tell stories sometimes and I'll lay there on the couch or and sit back in the chair and close my eyes, try to visualize the story. Sometimes I fall asleep. So if I see some of you falling asleep during this short story here, I'll understand why, but you're going to miss a good story. It's a story that was a time when neighborhoods were safe. Children could walk almost anywhere. Neighbors looked out for each other's children. Can you imagine a time like that? Can you imagine leaving your chainsaw laying out someplace today or your tools? By the way, Dennis, I got a new tool set for Christmas. Can't wait to show it to you. Dennis is an excellent mechanic. Well, the story starts out on Bexley Street in South Carolina. And it's a family of five, a dad, a mom, and three girls ages 14, 11, and 3. So imagine with me for a few minutes during this story that you're the 11-year-old girl. Your stepfather is daddy to you and your older sister and has loved you like his own since you were 5 years old. Your 3-year-old sister, Cindy, is gentle and precious with brown eyes and curly hair. You share a bedroom with Cindy and She is like a little play doll for you. She's like having a little baby doll of your own. She brings so much joy to the family and to you. And she's your stepfather's only biological daughter. Well, one day you're playing near your house there with a friend of yours, and your sister, Cindy, is playing down the road with one of her friends. When you hear a noise, some tires from a car screeching, you sense something is wrong. So you and your friend run down to that area. Suddenly, your carefree, happy world comes to an end. Your heart nearly stops as you see your baby sister laying there. She is bleeding. She is motionless. What would you feel like being an 11-year-old, seeing your sister so pale and so still? It's a strange thing that sticks in your mind at times like this. You remember her little shoes had come off her feet and her little white socks. That's the last thing you remember there before being pulled away by a neighbor. Well, a neighbor sits with you on your couch, holding you as you cry. And she won't tell you the truth about your baby sister, not until your mother gets home. Your mother comes in through the door, and she collapses as she's told that her baby girl has died. Well, this 11-year-old's mind tries to cope with the complete breakdown of her mother and of the death of her little sister. Daddy's grief and pain multiply as you listen to his one strong voice. Seeing him like this is very, very scary for such a young girl. At the funeral, you're told by your uncle, "Be strong for Daddy, don't cry." You go up to the casket. You see your little baby sister laying there. She's so pretty in her little yellow dress. She looks like she's sleeping. You feel like you're going to burst because you have to cry. And yet you look up and see your daddy looking at you, and you remember what your uncle told you. Be strong for Daddy. Don't cry. Well, needless to say, at the house, it's no longer a happy house, but a sad house. No one explains death to you. You weren't raised in a church, and even though you and your parents had talked about God before, you just don't understand death. Your mom has suffered an emotional breakdown, and she's sleeping most of the time now because of the pills the doctor has given to her. Daddy can't comfort you because he's in so much pain himself. Well, that night you finally fall asleep and are jolted awake by a conversation out in the living room. A woman is actually asking Daddy to forgive her. Yet your daddy is saying, "It was not your fault. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Why is Daddy forgiving her?" Well, I've told you the tragedy. Now for the miracles. As I mentioned, my daddy was not a Christian man. But he wouldn't have any peace until he knew that he could see his little girl again. One day, one evening, I looked through my bedroom door and I saw Daddy standing in the middle of the living room. He says, "God, I can't take it anymore. Help me. Help me." Well, you know, I think that God immediately heard my dad's voice. He heard him crying, and that night For the first time in weeks, my dad was able to sleep. Strange thing happened. About a week later, a pastor came to our door. He brought his hope of God's messages of eternal life. Because of Pastor Tom's counsel, my dad accepted Christ. Soon after, my mom accepted Christ and was baptized. And then when Daddy knew that it was our choice, me and my older sister Linda gave our hearts to God. Well, looking back, I can see that God orchestrated the call from Pastor Tom. He listened to God's voice, even when he told us that when he came up to our house, he had a terrible fear of rejection. This was a miracle. All miracles. Do you think there's miracles in our lives sometimes that we don't realize? And maybe God is wanting to perform a miracle through us like he did through Pastor Tom. Well, little did I know that we would need God to help us bear what lay ahead. My parents wanted a child so badly. But my mother could not carry the baby full term, and it died. Then a second baby died at birth. I remember questioning God, hasn't our family faced enough? But this time it was different for mom and dad, because they had God in their lives. We all had God in our lives. Oh, my mom would weep before the Lord, trying hard to figure it all out. And she finally gave it back to God and says, God, I will always believe you and trust you, no matter if I don't have all the answers. You know that mom told me that a wave of peace covered her? And she had the incredible sensation that God was actually holding her. Well, the little girl continues by saying, I'm not going to tell you that times were not hard, but God helped us through the pain. God never did say that things were always going to be good, did he? But I remember in learning in church that all things work together for the good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. One thing we learned about the death of baby Cindy is that through her death came life for each one of us in my family. Daddy and Mom never did blame God for the death of their baby. The loss and the pain are replaced by God's miracles of forgiveness and a miracle of grace. But we could not have survived without God. Well, it still amazes me looking back now, years later. Pastor Tom has passed away, but he was in a strategic place at a strategic time for me and my family. I can still remember him reading 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. I'd like you to turn with me there. I know we've read these many times, but just think what this did for this family. This verse and other verses. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Sounds like it's going to be kind of a noisy time, isn't it? Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall ever be with the Lord. Can you imagine the hope and the peace that came over this family? Daddy knew that he was going to see his little baby again. Well, there is a wonderful ending to my family story. In God's own timing, he answered my prayers for another baby girl. My sister Kelly was born gentle and precious, with big brown eyes and curly brown hair. Even more joy and laughter came into our house. Thank you, Jesus, for the miracles. Well, this is the end of this story. We've seen the miracles, haven't we? Now imagine with me once again the paralytic from Mark 2, verses 2 through 12. Did you know that his condition was brought upon himself by his own lifestyle? He brought his own condition upon himself by the way he lived. He came with the help of four friends. They believed Jesus could heal him. They heard the Holy Spirit asking them to take their friend to Jesus to be healed. What would we do without our friends? Well, we know the story, how they got there to the house where Jesus was talking, and it was so crowded you couldn't even get in through the front door. So these four friends lifted him up onto the roof, removed some of the roof tile, and actually lowered him down into the presence of Jesus. Do you think his life changed when he came in the presence of Jesus? You know that Jesus not only healed his physical body, but he healed his soul as well. You know, when I was preparing this sermon, I'd asked Ruth Ann to tell this story. Well, she just couldn't do it. And I'll tell you why. Like the story of Cindy, Ruth Ann had lost her little sister in a terrible traffic accident. She still remembers viewing the casket with her sister there. Remembers being told to be strong for her daddy. Like the story of baby Cindy, Ruth Ann had also lost two babies prior to their birth. Ruth Ann still gets a little melancholy and sad around Christmas time. That's not when the accident happened for her sister, but her sister's birthday was December the 27th. Well, Ruth Ann, and to everyone who has lost a loved one, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Can you imagine the reunion? Can you imagine? Joel 2, 28 and 32 promises us that God will pour his Spirit out upon all mankind, and everyone who calls on Jesus will be delivered. I guess I should end my story now by saying sometimes miracles come out of tragedies and sadness, but Jesus will always turn them into gladness. Now we're going to show a video about a man who came to the emergency room of the hospital. He collapsed there in the emergency room and was taken into the triage where they worked on him for about 40 minutes. After it looked like he wasn't going to make it and his heart had stopped, they called the cardiologist of the hospital who was on duty named Dr. Crandall. Dr. Crandall came in and pronounced the man deceased. As Dr. Crandall signed the death certificate and then left the emergency room, he heard this voice from God saying, "Go pray for this man." He thought, "Well, I'm a little busy," but he started to walk away again, and they heard the voice a second time saying, "Go in and pray for him." Dr. Crandall then went in and prayed for him and asked the doctor on duty to shock him again, which they thought was kind of unusual. However, to honor Dr. Crandall, they went ahead and shocked him again. After the paddles were taken away, the man's heart immediately started beating. 3 days later, he was in the care unit there, and they discovered he had no brain damage or any other organ damage. Obviously, this was a miracle, and Dr. Crandall
gave all the glory to God because he heard and acted on God's voice.
Shall we pray? We're here, Heavenly Father, because we want miracles in our lives. We want to be delivered from the pain of losing a lost one, or even the pain of maybe a separation that we're going through, or a lost job, or not having the means that we would like to have for our children. Would you deliver us, dear Heavenly Father? We know that you will, and we thank you for being with us today, and come with us as we fellowship together. Once again, we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.